Welcome to Ask an Atheist. We're all still here.
So far.
All right, that was Intrua from Dead Bear Mountain by Oven Rake, who was one of the surprise act at the End Is Nah event last night, which we're all here to talk about a little bit and, well, kind of recover from.
Indeed.
The ibuprofen was not a lie. You can visit his website at ovenrake.bandcamp.com. His music is Creative Commons. He's local in Tacoma. And like I said, he was kind of the surprise event. People were really into that. So.
And that was performed almost entirely with a Nintendo Game Boy.
I have never seen anyone mix music off of a Game Boy.
It was really cool.
It was quite an experience.
All right. Well,
yeah, if you're listening to this, you weren't enraptured either.
Yeah.
As you may know, Harold Camping, who is the most famous MIA person right now, especially now that Bin Laden's gone. As you know, he made a prediction months ago saying that the world was going to end yesterday.
Yeah.
It did not.
Nope. Still here.
We counted down to what we thought was going to be a day of backpedaling today, where we have yet to hear any kind of backpedaling from Camping himself.
The expectation of the backpedaling has begun. The backpedaling itself has not.
I think he's hiding in an undisclosed location, perhaps a spider hole, and he's hoping that he can just wait the media out, because clearly they're going to have a lot of questions like, hey, what gives? Where was Jesus?
Maybe he's having his Who is John Galt moment? Who knows?
Maybe. Maybe he's forming a little compound out somewhere where everyone can be crazy.
And then be raptured?
Perhaps. I was thinking more of Jonestown.
Oh, no, let's not do that right away. In fact, to clear my palate from that.
Maybe Jonestown with a happier ending.
Okay, I'll do that. All right, we've got Casey from Portales, New Mexico. How you doing today?
Hey, not too bad. How about you guys?
Doing really good. So what do you have for us?
Well, basically, I know that you guys have a busy show with the whole non-rapture thing, but I just wanted to bring out, on the internet, I was reading a story about this kid in Louisiana. His name is Damon Fowler, and basically what ended up happening was it was his high school graduation, and he objected to the planned prayer he was going to have at the high school graduation. And basically what ended up happening was the local high school the local paper there did a big write-up about it, published his name. The superintendent and the principal of the school basically outed his name out there. He's become really hated. Last I heard is that his mother ended up kicking him out of the house. Basically threw all of his stuff out on the lawn. And, I just wanted to bring up this fact that, you know, this kid really needs the support of the atheist community out there.
I think, indeed, this young man needs the support of the atheist community. And also, I would say, needs the support of anyone who believes in the separation of church and state. And that's for the protection of, religious folk and non-religious folk alike. And as myself, an educator, this is Becky speaking now, a high school educator, I really take umbrage with the fact that you would have at a secular public institution, you would have a planned prayer before a graduation ceremony. And I think that it can be really problematic in places where the majority of one's community is quite religious. And if this young man has been, ostracized by his parents or his family and has had, very negative media attention just by the fact that he objected to having a prayer at his public high school graduation, I do think that you bring up an excellent point. And we do need to support this young man.
I've actually heard about this case before, Casey, and this typifies to me what I think are two really harmful aspects of organized religion or religion of any kind, but particularly majoritarian religion. One is that the kid doesn't necessarily have to be an atheist to object to something like this, that a school is basically an arm of the government, and the government is there to represent all of us, and including people who don't believe, people in a minority faith. I think that people in a majoritarian faith often are so used to having their way on everything and having the last word on everything and having a monopoly on every discussion that has to do with religion and God that they don't even hear the fact that they're drowning everyone else and wanting that monopoly. And I think that there's a real arrogance that comes with that. And the second issue I take with it is that if there's one strong instinct that all mammals have, it's to protect and care for their young, and that religion can cause people to actually hurt and put their own children at risk because of a difference of opinion. That I can imagine if I had a child at some point and they turned out to be really religious or really, really horrible, that, yeah, there could be a time that I may have problems dealing with them. And, you know, like anybody who has a Thanksgiving dinner and has that one uncle or something that's really, really opinionated knows what that feels like. But at a certain point, they're still your family and you're still not going to throw them to the curb. And if they're in trouble, you'll help them. And the fact that religion can get you to move past that instinct scares me.
Exactly.
So are you local to this event, Casey?
No, sir. I'm actually in New Mexico. It was on a couple of blogs. I believe Farangula had a really good write-up on that.
Yeah.
And also Friendly Atheist had a couple of stories about this.
Yeah, I saw the Friendly Atheist one.
As did I.
Right.
And I would...
If I may...
Yes.
I'm sorry. Yes, if I may, I just wanted to point out that on Friendly Atheist, they actually have a link. I believe they're raising money for his college, sort of like a college scholarship. I believe he already got $1,000 from the Freedom from Religion Foundation. But there's also a link there where people could donate towards his college education.
Okay, so it's a link on the Friendly Atheist website for donations for this particular student's college fund.
And if you're curious, it is friendlyatheist.com.
Yes.
And I think that's really cool because, I mean, I've seen stuff like this. Alan Keyes actually completely disowned his daughter when she came out as a lesbian.
Yeah.
Threw her to the curb, cut off her ability to go to college. And this stuff really kind of scares me, that you should care about your children's welfare and their ability to succeed, despite whatever disagreements you have. That you can have an Alex P. Keaton son or whatever and still be proud of that person, even if you disagree with their worldview.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is why we need an atheism community and an atheism visibility movement, is so that people who are deciding to take a stand on these issues have a place to turn to, have allies, know that they will be supported.
Absolutely. I think there needs to be a safety net.
Anything else for us, Casey?
Well, just one more thing. I just wanted to say that this Harold Camping guy, I believe, I've read stories about people giving up their life savings.
It's deplorable.
A story about a family calculating how much money they would need until yesterday and then basically giving the rest to this guy. I believe this guy really needs to be gone after and prosecuted for misleading so many people. And I think that, this guy, he's got a fortune. I think that needs to be taken away and given back to the people that they hurt so much for this claim.
Yeah, definitely, Casey. And that actually does lead us into some of the news that we wanted to highlight. If I can draw your attention to an article that was featured in the New York Times, where there was a family, the Haddad family from Maryland, actually has three teenagers, and they are not believers of Harold Camping, whereas their parents are. And the New York Times article actually really featured them and talked about how their parents have stopped saving for college and started spending that money on their mission trips. And this is just one more example where parents can be sort of misled or drawn astray from their parenting duties.
Yeah, I think this sort of stuff is completely shameful. I think that this comes down to what the consequences of belief are, and that people throw at us a lot, that this belief or that belief is silly, or Harold Camping and his followers, they're just a bunch of silly kooks, why are you giving them attention? It's because of stuff like this, is that these people do hurt people, that these do beliefs, that there's a consequence to these sort of beliefs, that if you really believe that Sunday's not going to happen, then why would you matter that you're spending all of your money on Saturday?
Yeah. All right, Casey, thank you for your call. We got to move on.
All right, thanks a lot.
Yeah, you have a good day. The idea of, some sort of legal recompense for the followers or camping or for the duplicitous of this is a theme that's been going on. And we actually have another call that wants to talk about that. This is Kyle from Abilene, Texas. How are you doing today?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Going good.
Very good.
your previous caller kind of stole my thunder. I was going to bring up the legal ramifications and, if there could be any, what you guys thought about that.
What's your take on it?
Flesh it out.
Do you have
it really sticks in my craw because, since I became an atheist, I've been kind of like screaming from the mountaintop about it, because I've never been so passionate about anything in my life until I became an atheist. And one of the things that really bothers me is when religion causes harm. And this is a perfect example.
Yeah, and
people's lives are ruined because of this guy.
Oh, absolutely. There's this guy, Robert Fitzpatrick, out of New York City, former transit worker. He spent his entire life savings on these subway ads. He has nothing now. He is in financial Armageddon. Doomsday did come for this dude.
And that was $140,000 of his retirement savings. And there were reporters listening to him yesterday afternoon at 6 o'clock, and his response was akin to, I don't know what happened. I don't understand.
It's a much sadder version of what I see happens when James Randi, who's a famous psychic debunker, debunks somebody when their abilities don't hold up under testing. They have that same look on their face, like, I didn't expect this to happen.
There are some people who are actively out there trying to dupe people. You know, some people say Peter Popoff is that kind, but then there's other, and then there's the Heydrich guy in the 70s. But there are other people that Randi tests who are earnest in their belief and are completely shocked when their beliefs do not stand the test of evidence.
That if there's one person they're fooling more than anyone, it's generally themselves. And when that thing falls apart, because it comes down to what I've heard, you know, is called confirmation bias, that human beings are really bad amateur statisticians, that we tend to overemphasize coincidences, and we forget the times that it doesn't match up. So when you actually have somebody counting every instance and giving you a percentage of hits and misses, sometimes that really hurts.
Yeah, we have a segment on the show called Where's the Harm? And one of the things we want to underscore is that sometimes even simple, harmless-looking beliefs have huge ramifications socially.
And then there's also the question of the methodology that we use to determine fact from fantasy.
Yeah.
And if it's so weak that it lets this one harmless thing in, it's like, oh, he believes this silly belief, what does it hurt? That same thought process could let in something really bad, like anti-vaccine activism or fighting to put creationism in schools. I mean, bad ideas do not exist in isolation.
And Dr. Oz is one of the guys that are out there now, and he's the whole alternative medicine thing. And
oh, yeah, he just recently endorsed John Edward, the psychic guy, too.
Oh, wow, he's still around?
Oh.
Yeah, he's still around.
I had no idea about that. I'm a fan of John Loftus's, and I go to his blog, Debunking Christianity, and he had mentioned maybe a week ago that Christians need to police themselves, and they don't do that. And I think there needs to be somewhat of a priority in the atheist, you know, organized atheist communities. Because you can hammer that home to Christians, and they can't really say anything about it because there's evidence all the time. I just open the newspaper all the time.
I think when Christian belief has an influence on what's happening in the public square and, you know, sane laws and stuff like that, then I think as atheists we have a responsibility, at least those of us in the atheist visibility movement, we have a responsibility to stand up and say, hey, that's actually a destructive idea. This is an encroachment of sectarianism on a secular government. And I think that's important.
That they're not keeping their religion to themselves. And I think that's another thing, is why are we the ones that always have to say something? And this kind of reminds me of the Catholic sex abuse scandals, or rather the Catholic child rape scandals. Let's be honest about this. Why is it that atheists are the ones leading the way on that, too? Catholics are the ones whose children are being abused. The Harold Camping followers are the ones who are being duped and losing their life savings. Those are the people who should be at the forefront, and those are the people that should have the legal standing to go after him.
To be fair, there are Catholic movements actually starting in Wellesley, Massachusetts, called Voice of the Faithful, where within the Catholic movement themselves have been outspoken critics of the abuse scandal. And we have had some media coverage of other Christian sects and Christian denominations denouncing him and saying, not only can no one know the hour, but also we need to be Christian to the folks that were duped by this.
The biggest problem here is something Mike wrote about on our website, askanatheist.tv, is that really the biggest difference between Harold Camping and anybody else is merely one of
specificity.
Certainty of time, is that Camping thought it was going to be yesterday. It wasn't. And then everybody else thinks that we cannot know the day or the hour. I don't know how many times I have read that quote from the Book of Matthew in the last week. 50, 60, 900, who knows?
Yeah, and this is not a small thing. Yes, it's easy to laugh at Harold Camping because he's a little fringe kook, but it's not a fringe, tiny little minority that believes that the end times is coming. According to Pew Research, 41% of Americans, that's all of us, not just Christians, believe that Jesus is coming back within the next 50 years. And this includes people who become senator and president and people who are courted by presidential candidates, like Al Lindsay and John Hagee.
Yeah.
This is scary stuff.
All right, Kyle, anything else? Because we're going to have to move to commercial.
Right, I understand. Just one quick question, and I'll let you guys kick it around if you want to. Do you guys think that Harold Camping, seeing that this is his second try, do you think he really believed this time that this was going to happen, or if this was calculated and he was using this as a way, to win financially or something?
I can't.
I appreciate you guys taking my call.
Yeah, talk to you soon. Thank you.
I can't even pretend to get into the mind of Harold Camping. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I think it kind of comes down to the website that we have. We can't know. We can't. I can't pretend to read anyone's mind. I can't pretend to know what he really believes. I have a tendency to take people at their word unless I have evidence to the contrary.
I am willing to question his motives. I think that there was a lot of this that was absolutely a grab at attention. And one of the biggest pieces of evidence I have to support that is the fact that this guy in New York spent all of his money, Harold Camping, who is near death any way you look at it, rapture or no rapture, and Family Radio, a huge media conglomerate, hundreds of million plus dollars in their bank account, they still have that money.
So he believes, maybe, but not as much as his followers do.
Not as much as his followers do, and I'll be honest with you, I'm not certain he really did. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. We'll be back in a few minutes.
My name is John Kaiser. I'm a survivor living in Seattle, Washington. I am broadcasting on this AM frequency. We will be at Westlake Center every day from 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. when the sun is highest in the sky. If you are out there, if anyone is out there, we can provide food. We can provide shelter. We can provide security.
You can help us. Visit rapture-relief.org. Give to the Rapture Relief Fund, a satirical benefit for Camp Quest.
If there's anybody out there, anybody, please, you are not alone.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
Tacoma Telematics wants to help you connect with your clients. We can give you a top-notch web presence. Tacoma Telematics can take your website to the next level and make it an essential part of your business marketing, but that's not all. Want VoIP? We've got it, bringing large corporation phone systems capability at mom-and-pop prices. We build intuitive interfaces to help you manage your resources quickly and efficiently. Take advantage of our holistic approach to make your business communications succeed effortlessly. At Tacoma Telematics, we're committed to personal and professional integrity, open communication, and long-term relationships. See us at TacomaTelematics.com.
I don't know about you guys, but I think this may already be one of the prettiest episodes of Ask an Atheist we've ever had. This is, again, Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. And with me in the studio is Ask an Atheist Chad Cassidy and Ellie Feligo. How are you guys doing today?
Great.
Super awesome.
And why don't you describe what we just heard to us?
That is a song by myself and Hans Toit.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little collaboration that we worked on. He's doing the music, and I'm singing over the music. Something we came up with really quick. So,
That was really quick.
Yeah, we just he gave me the music, and he said, "Ellie, sing over this," and I was like, "Okay," and that's what we came up with. So,
well, that's something I noticed last night. Is I'm a big fan of improvisational music, but I don't often see improvisational music with vocals in it, and I was pretty floored by it, to be honest with
you. Thank you.
And I only recently learned that the bassist who was in that jam session was Chris Coleman.
I know, he's awesome.
The guy who does our theme music,
right.
Which I love, because he sent it to me and he said, "Oh, this kind of has a King Crimson sound to it." And I'm like, "Okay, you have my attention. I grew up with King Crimson. It's right. My favorite band. Like, okay, I have your attention." And he sent us three or four things, and they were all fantastic.
Yep.
And I was really happy to have somebody of that caliber working on our show in such early days.
Absolutely.
And it was pretty hilarious that he played a good 30-minute set with us, and nobody noticed that he was playing.
I noticed he was playing. I got a really good clip of him with that electric upright, and because it's like, oh, that is fantastic.
Yeah.
And
it just, we didn't connect the names until afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, wait. What?
I hope it turns up the camera, because he's sort of a backlit thing. It's a really nice-looking little performance
shot.
That
was glorious.
So how was jamming last night? How did that work out for you guys?
Last night, that was... That was members of your old band, Import Export, right?
Yes.
Chris was one of them. Who else?
Jeff Meggs.
And they came down, and I met those two guys. We had a jam session. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about how we met and stuff. Our jam session was glorious, and that's why I called you.
Mm-hmm.
Our middle act fell through, and so I called Ellie. I think maybe 5 hours mm-hmm. before, and she's like, "Yeah, I can come down," and so we played this set. And
thank you, Ellie, for saving our bacon.
Yeah,
I love to sing any chance that I can get in there with the improvs.
Very cool.
Love
it. It was really great.
So you, Chad, you sort of put the musical end of it, and didn't sort of, but you really put the musical end of this together. This is sort of your show.
And almost dropped the ball several
times.
Yeah,
I wish I'd known some of the names, because I think I called you guys the Chad Cassidy Emergency Experience or
yes.
something like that.
Yeah.
So tell me how you got in touch and how you met.
Well, we met on the internet I was kind of, I had just left kind of dealing with leaving being a Jehovah's Witness, and I was looking to find a group of people that have also experienced that same kind of, not to be dramatic, but emotional trauma.
I don't think it's that dramatic.
I don't think it's that dramatic.
That's
I just thought I would say it's, yeah, basically. So, I found this, what was the website called?
It was meetup.com, and it's funny because you contacted me about a week after I joined this meetup,
uh-huh.
I think, and it was a Seattle area former Jehovah's Witness support group.
Right, which we're still waiting to have other people to support.
They're not that busy.
We can all support each other.
Yeah.
But it was at least we got to touch.
We totally and, connected.
Thank you.
And we kept in touch, and he contacted me, and he was like, I'm a musician. I was like, oh, my God, I'm a musician. Oh, this is perfect. We're going
to
be best friends.
Come
we're
to find out we're pretty much
picnics.
Clones.
Is it, yeah, basically.
Thing.
So really excited to have met this gentleman. He came over to my house. We played amazing music in my living room with my boyfriend, Scott. And we just had an awesome time, totally connected, and it was really nice to finally meet someone that I could relate to.
Right, yeah. Right. That's something I find with that sort of religious movements have, that the atheist movement, or the free thought movement, agnostic movement, whatever you want to call it, doesn't really have yet, is really a rich musical community. And
mm-hmm.
and that's something that, with spiritual music, you sort of inherit just as a matter of course.
Mm-hmm.
And in a lot of ways, we're still a fledgling community, and that's something we haven't built up yet. And so I find these sort of chance encounters where a lot of stuff comes out of it, and a lot of really productive stuff is you're sort of, from my perspective, you're sort of building the groundwork for that sort of community.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing is, we, as we were just setting up to do this show, we find out we all, either through music or through other things, we all basically knew
each other. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy.
We're all one level, like one person away from each other. If we didn't know each other directly, we both knew somebody in common. It's kind of
even
really
me,
similar.
And I've only been here a few years, but it's mostly because I know Mike, and Mike apparently knows everyone.
Yeah. So. Your other bandmate was used to work with Mike?
Yeah.
Current project, or was that Import-Export?
Hans and...
Okay, that's
the other gentleman, they used to work with each other, and then the other guy knows my other friend Jordan, and everybody just knows everybody. It's so weird how we're all connected. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Your old band, the bassist, did our music. I should thank
it
over that.
That is so
odd. And I just meet him and we jam. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's craziness.
So. But anyway, so you've transitioned out of being a Jehovah's Witness.
Yes.
And that is, I mean, if you've listened to Chad's episode of Living After Faith, where he outlines that a little bit. It's a very powerful episode. So I think calling it traumatic or saying that it was dramatic or traumatic or anything, that is at best an understatement.
Yeah.
And but you're sort of just out of a religion. And one thing Chad did is he came out of a religion and then he sort of followed me to the street fair, which is happening right now, but it was 3 years ago, and you just read books and you sort of joined the community. You're still kind of like being just out of it, right? Is that?
Yeah, I am still. I've been out of it technically for 2 years, but the kind of the after effects that come with it, coming to copes with, you know, okay, well, I'm just going to die like everybody else, and I'm not going to go up into heaven and play with panda bears or whatever you do up there. I don't know. But, like, you know, it's coming to terms with the reality of life has been like an everyday step process, that, I would say.
That's the thing, is sort of the change is almost literally a lot of religious people have their head in the clouds. They're thinking about the afterlife and how great it's going to be.
Don't live now.
Yeah.
Get a firm grip on the real life. That's scriptural right there, man. Don't do this.
Right.
Don't
engage
in this world.
And now we're trying to re-engage. A lot of people who are leaving religion are trying to re-engage with, if you know, still the future, because we, you know, you still have years ahead of you in this life, but making this life meaningful on its own merits. And for a lot of people, it's difficult to make that switch. Do you think that's working out okay for you?
It is working out phenomenally. It's amazing how leaving something so... It's just so one way, like, it's black and white, when nothing in life is black and white. And it's helped me so much musically. I mean, literally, if you were to hear the stuff that I did when I was younger as in comparison to now, and, like, finding the right people, like, working with such talented people has been so inspiring. You know, it's awesome to come out and just feel so open creatively now.
Are you finding that the music supports, is the music supporting your transition? Is the transition supporting your music? Is it cross mutual?
It's cross mutual. Yeah. After coming to terms with and like really leaving, you know, the thought process, cause that a lot of it, you have to retrain the way that you think. Mm. And so with that, I'm able to kind of use that through my music and kind of like evolve that way, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
How about you?
Well, yeah, it's really the same thing. I mean, the obstacles, from being, a witness were twofold. One, there was a smaller creative palette,
right?
Because there is a more black and white worldview.
Right.
So there's less nuance to, and there are fewer emotional textures that you have access to. And I really view music as a series of emotional textures parsed into sound.
Right.
You know, you feel it, put it into the music, other people are now able to listen to it and actually kind of, they're almost like a record, you know, they're following the groove. They feel those emotional textures. You're allowed to help people emote in different interesting ways.
I have heard music described as emotional sonic decoration of time.
That is
and
cool.
I like that definition because
yeah.
it really engages the fact that you're not really communicating. I mean, one of the things I liked about what you were doing last night is that you were really, without using words, you were really emoting.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot
yes.
of, and I love that. That's one of the things I love about music so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Glorious.
It's really getting in touch. And I think that always creating music, there's been a part of that. But when you're, you know, when your religion, as being a Jehovah's Witness, it's your whole life, you think in those ways.
Yeah.
So to be out of that and to be able to improv, everything is so different now. It's just, it's very exhilarating.
That's really fantastic to hear. And I hope you guys continue to work together, because that was pretty amazing.
Oh, man. We have plans, too.
It's
most
never going to stop.
The other part of it is the operational. A lot of the most talented people we've been able to work with were not people we were supposed to associate with back then. So,
bad.
It's twofold.
Okay.
And it's been really awesome.
Oh, yeah. I got somebody. Oh, no. I'm sorry. I take that back.
Nobody on the line.
Yeah. We had somebody on the line, but they've disappeared. So, anyway. are you... are you anywhere in town right now? Is there any people who are listening to us want to find you online or at a show? Where would we go right now?
Well, the project has just kind of started. It's only in a month or two. What you heard was done a while back, but now we just got all the musicians, so we're still working on that.
Okay.
But there will be a website, etherroom.com or theetherroom.com. I forget which one. Hans is having it under, but it will either be the Ether Room or etherroom.com. So
okay.
It's happening. It's in the process. It's like two steps away from happening. So we're moving it. Definitely. We're getting there.
I know how it feels to do that level of web development. It's like, we're so close, but we just don't have everything together.
You gotta have there's so much involved. You got to have the art.
And then there's the recording and all that stuff, too.
Yeah, yeah.
A couple layers of complexity.
Mm-hmm. To be honest, the recording, I'm only beginning to understand how complex that can be now that we're working on the show. And that is some pretty hard stuff.
Yeah.
And, it was very cool to see it come together at the show. And
that's all you. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome, sir.
I don't think there's anybody I could have called that could have pulled that off other than Ellie. And I knew of you because we had that jam session.
And it was so awesome that Chris and Jeff were just like, yeah, man, let's just go down there. Let's jam it out. I'm like, whatever. Let's just have a great time.
We met 5 minutes before we did that. And then we went and did it.
It was great. Everybody was so cool.
So
very cool. And okay, if people would like to find you online, you've got a couple places, don't you?
Well, I am pretty much in the process of leaving.
Well, you also have a certain business, don't you?
Christian band.
Okay.
I'll drop their name. Christian. They're great. They're good guys. Atheist lead guitarist in a Christian band. They're called Raised Deus, R-E-S-D-E-U-S. I have a website called beatboxchad.com. Right now, it's just my guitar lessons website, but I'm going to have a project, some music I'm going to throw up there in a bit.
Very cool.
Go to beatboxchad.com and see my cheesy bit of sales copy and email me if you're a musician or anything.
So how do you guys feel about the Rapture coming and going with no change whatsoever?
I'm really sad that I didn't get to go on the Rapture ride, so that really sucks.
It would have been cool.
I'm hoping that there's going to be like an after Rapture party.
But the music was good. It was a heck of a party.
Yeah.
We could just keep partying. It's all good.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, in a way, it was a little bit of a Rapture after party because the deadline had already come and gone here by
Would
the time.
Would that be a Rafter party?
Rafter party.
Ba-dum-bum-ba-dum-bum.
I love it.
Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. We'll be back with you in a couple minutes.
Are you tired of religious dogma influencing government policy? Do you support the separation of church and state? Then the Secular Coalition for America is your voice in Washington, D.C. The Secular Coalition for America is the only national lobbying organization representing atheists, agnostics, humanists, and other secular Americans in our nation's capital. The Secular Coalition for America speaks out for millions of non-theistic and non-religious Americans who support public policies based on science and reason, not religious bias. Go to secular.org today to sign up for emails and get involved. That's secular.org.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
The Humanists of Washington is the oldest humanist organization in the state and offers a community of free thinkers who educate the public and celebrate life. Come celebrate life with us. Humanists support intellectual freedom and critical thinking and hold that human beings are autonomous centers of moral development. You can become a member of the Humanists of Washington at humanistsofwashington.org. You'll get our quarterly publication, The Secular Humanist Press. Check out meetup.com, where you can be part of our monthly Seattle dinner and our Heathens Do It Better breakfast. Humanistsofwashington.org.
The skeptical muscle is strong like Bertrand Russell. I tend to avoid fights, but still find the occasional tussle. I try to act famous, but I'm just a small corpuscle. And if creationism comes up, expect me to dominate the discussle. This faith-based fix like to pretend to sound logical, but is founded on fallacies, frequently fully magical. You can misinterpret data about polystrate logs, but everyone points and laughs reading Ken Ham's blog. The skeptical brain drives juggalos insane. Yeah, there's miracles everywhere, but you're mystified by mundane. I know a dude named Shane, a sample theme from Mondo Cain. If you ask what I was doing, I'll be like, what, Lorraine? These Christians complain with the same refrain of disdain. I'll spend the rest of my life removing that damn stain. Half insane from the pain, yet I could not abstain till I lost all my stock in Emmanuel's veins.
We're not anti-science and anti-woman.
We're not
anti-science and anti-woman.
We're not
anti-science and anti-woman.
We're not
anti-science and anti-woman.
My skeptical glutes are from the Michael Shermers. You wouldn't back your kids, so instead you drank dewormer.
Like I said, I'm already really happy with the episode, just with the inclusion of music. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. And with me, once again, is Mike Gillis. And then this time, Jason Vernet, also known as Three Ninjas.
Hello. Hello, little babies. Y'all are my little babies.
Hey, welcome to the show, Jason. So, what have you got going on right now?
Well, right now, tonight I'm doing a show in Seattle at the Rendezvous with my friends the Jesus Rehab, also some beautiful post-religious music, and DVOD. They do, like, pop stuff, but with cellos.
Oh, wow.
So it's going to be beautiful.
So what's your backdrop? How long have you been doing music now?
I've been doing music all my life, really. I've been doing the nerd rap stuff for about the last 2 years. Started out doing Christian rock.
Christian rock. So yeah, what was that transition
like?
Seems
to be a theme for the day, I think.
Yeah. So. Well, I grew up in church, and then in junior high, I got really into the fundamentalism, and eventually I got into the full gospel tongue-talking stuff, and I was like young earth creationist, the whole nine yards.
Wow.
So what happened?
I took a biodiversity class. I almost said biodiversity.
And, well, in the end, it really kind of was. Yeah.
I got it. I started wondering. I was hearing about experiments with bacteria in labs, and I wondered, do they ever, like, turn into new species or anything? So I emailed my professor. Sure enough, new species of bacteria all the time.
Yeah.
Been told my whole life that you don't get species turning into other species.
So this was the first domino, then?
That was the first chip off of the marble block that eventually turned me into the Michelangelo I am today.
Very nice. And so...
No, the David I am today.
So was the nerdcore aspect any part of your Christian rock as well?
No, you know, not really. I mean, I've always been nerdy on the inside and always been extremely hilarious. But we had some funny songs in the Christian band, I got, you know, convicted.
Ooh.
And I was like, guys, we really need to, like, be more serious about it. We need to drop the joke songs and just focus on the Lord. So it was a huge potential killer.
Yeah.
So you were the buzzkill of the band? That was your place?
Yeah, like inside I was, you know, the funny guy, or one of the funny guys, but, you know, I had to, like, deny myself these things because of my stupid beliefs.
Wow.
About what I was supposed to do and what kind of songs I was supposed to write.
I'm interested in that transition. However, we do have a call, and let's get this on the way. Allie from Bellevue, how are you doing today?
Hi, I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing good.
I was just thinking about the whole Harold camping thing. There's a lot of upset people out there. And I just think to cheer up, you know, everybody makes mistakes. Not like the end of the world.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that is true. It's not the end of the world. I think that some people, though, it kind of is. And not to be the downer here, not to be this show's buzzkill. But, you know, Harold Camping, like you said, Sam, he's sitting on all that money. I think he's got to give it to his followers. He owes it.
I think he does, too. I mean, there's people spent every dime. Hello?
As far as liability, I don't think so, man. I mean, these people were stupid enough to buy into it, so why should they get their money back?
Yeah, but you could say that about the people that were defrauded by Bernie Madoff, that I think that, or any con artist for that matter, anyone selling a miracle cure or any faith healer, there's always somebody scamming. I do feel bad, especially people with kids.
Yeah.
People are hurt by this.
Well, if he was a con artist, I think that he's actually, like, nuts, and he believes in his predictions. I don't think he's a con artist.
Well, I think on some level he is. I think that, at the very least, the stuff that he's preaching, he has preached people into poverty. There are people right now who have no idea what their tomorrow is going to look like, whether their kids are going to go to college, where their next meal is going to come from. We're in a bad economy. They don't know if they're going to be working. Their job, we're in a place now where jobs, what is it, we're like at 8-9% unemployment?
At least.
Those jobs are going to get filled up fast by a lot of other people that are desperate to get that job. These people are in a really bad spot now. And yeah, they did a really stupid thing and they had a lot of silly beliefs, but I got a feeling, you know, they're still human beings.
There's a long tradition in this country of religious hucksters coming in and making proclamations, and those proclamations invariably turn out to be wrong, and they're under no liability for it. And even though they do cause terrible destruction amongst the families that they convince, and most of the time they don't really get in trouble. What they do is found a new religion, as we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, the Seventh-day Adventists came out of something in 1844 called the Great Disappointment, where this guy, I believe his name William Miller, said that the world was going to end then. A religion came out of this. These things tend to just sort of kind of reaffirm people's faith rather than shatter it. And I'd love to believe that this experience, this humiliating, hurtful, worldview-crushing experience, could sort of slap some reality into someone and go, man, what did I do? Why was I listening to this guy? But I think it's going to be, sadly, just a minority of people that have that realization.
All right. Anything else for us, Allie?
No.
Okay. Thank you for
covers at all.
All right. Thank you for calling. Look forward to hearing from you again. All right, Jason. So,
Hey. So when you were a Christian, were you the part of the denomination that got into this whole rapture, end of the world, of Armageddonist sort of thing?
Yeah, but we weren't crazy enough to put a date on it.
Yeah, why do people put dates on that? I don't get it. But it was basically your church's view was kind of like, you know, Max Headroom constantly 20 minutes into the future.
Yeah. I mean, no, the only difference between me and these guys is the date. I totally expected the rapture to happen within my lifetime.
So your family was this hardcore? Or?
No, it was pretty much just me.
How did that happen? Because, I mean, usually it's, you know, from parent to child.
I got in with the wrong crowd in junior high.
So you're running with the Jesus tough gang?
And then also, you know, I'm not exactly an idiot, so I figured if this stuff is real, I better devote my life to it. So
these people that you ran in this Christian rock band with, where are they now, and how do they think of the music you're doing? And,
well, the drummer, I don't know. I don't really talk to him very much. The bass player, my friend Scott, we're still really good friends. And when he found out that I was an atheist, he was kind of relieved because so is he now.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
So that's actually very cool. I actually have not heard a lot of stories about. I'm an atheist. Well, I'm an atheist too. Wow, yeah. We used to be Christians together.
Yeah,
now we're
awesome.
Atheists together.
Do you think it's that some people maybe hit this wall that they go so far with the Christian thing that they go, whoa? It's kind of like when you hit bottom if you're a drinker.
Yeah.
You're like, wow, I've really been hitting the Jesus, and what did I?
Yeah.
What did I just do?
Well, when you're incredibly intelligent, and especially not just intelligent but analytical, there's only, at least for me, there's only so far that I could go before I was like, this is just not meeting up, this is not aligning with reality.
Right.
And for a long time I really tried to make myself believe. I struggled really hard not losing it, but I couldn't lie to myself anymore.
So when you made this transition, how did your family react? You said they weren't as hardcore as you were in your height of this.
I don't really talk with them about it very much. I haven't told my sister, and she's heard my music, but she doesn't really pay attention to the content. She's, you know, a grown up, so it kind of goes by the words are hard for her to understand anyway. But
well, your family has had some media attention recently.
Oh yeah,
not?
That's true. Yeah, I am the Jason from Hoarders.
Oh,
I just got back from New York. I was on the Today Show.
The Today Show.
Yeah, I was interviewed by Al Roker. It's very short.
I hear that a lot about people on TV, and it always boggles
me. Kathy Lee is not short.
Oh, okay.
She's average height. So don't worry. Hold a copy. Also, she's fine. She's a good height.
So what was that like? It's sort of the press day for everybody
this
week.
Yeah, this is everything goes right for Jason Week. So everyone, that's probably why the rapture didn't happen. So you're welcome.
Yeah.
My shows stop earthquakes, so I need to do battle with Jen McCrite's boobs.
So you just did it. Speaking of Jen McCrite, you just did a song with her.
Yes, the song that we played at that was called Skeptical, featuring Jen McCrite, which was basically just to use her name in the title so I could get some search engine hits.
So how did that partnership start?
Well, a lot of people don't know this, but we were actually married for a couple years. Okay, that's not true. I just have to say that. I don't want to get in trouble. When she moved to Seattle for grad school, I got drunk and tweeted at her, like, please, will you be my friend? And so we've been hanging out. And then
so many friendships start that way.
Yeah.
I'm really shy. So.
Or marriages.
I'm working up to that.
Oh, okay.
We'll see. Then I got the idea to do... I was watching some of her post-boob quake interviews, and when I heard her say the anti-science and anti-woman thing, I was like, I could totally sample that. And then I got her to actually record it for me. And I'm really proud of that song. I'm hoping it'll become some sort of anthem for skeptics and atheists. But
so if people want to hear this song in full, where do they go?
3ninjas.net.
Okay.
Yes. I have two websites. 3ninjas.net is just my Bandcamp. You can buy stuff. There's also free downloads. I have a day job, but I would love to devote my life to music. So any support that anyone wants to give me, even if anybody, if you just buy like one song, it's a buck, that would help me out a lot. I would be able to do a lot more. So 3ninjas.net and sexwith3ninjas.com. There's very little sex on it. that's where my cool stuff goes. It's not
great. Thank you very much for supporting
thank
the show and supporting us.
I love you guys.
Y'all
are my
time.
Little babies.
We do have another call, and this should be interesting. This is Carmen Sita from California, who has a comment about a televangelist and faith healer. How are you doing today?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Yes. Your last call said something about Harold Camping should reimburse the followers because they spent millions. Well, I also think televangelists should do that.
And absolutely.
Also if you continue to go on, we're talking about the faith healers. And, hey, how about the average churches that are building all these cathedrals, building all sorts of things, and people are donating?
Tax-free, too.
Yeah, Peter Popoff, I mean, he had his big deal in the 90s and or the 80s, and then he disappeared, and now he's recently back. And
I think he's kind of like a Pac-Man ghost. I think that sometime in the 90s, James Randi gobbled him up, and his little eyes ran to the box in the middle, and he comes back in a different form. That's a sad thing, is it seems like you can't permanently destroy any of these guys' careers, even if you hit them with hard facts and completely discredit them.
They got one, there's this one clip of him, of people trying to interview him, and they're chasing him. It's like literally that they are chasing him down a hallway, and he gets out of the building and runs into his Porsche and drives away.
Sounds like a Dan Brown novel.
It completely does.
So yeah, I have to wonder about this because if you really go after these guys financially, I mean, you have to be a former follower. You have to have legal standing, and like we said earlier, a lot of these guys, they just kind of hold on tight. That if you really get screwed over in that kind of way, you really get defrauded. You really are had. Uh-huh. There's something in your brain where you don't want to accept the reality of your disillusionment. You don't want to like the thing that's going to happen with these camping guys is they're going to have some sort of rationalization because the reality will hurt them psychologically so much that they don't want to accept it because it's something that's going to ask so many hard questions.
Yeah,
and as you can hear these sort of hard stories that lead somebody to atheism, it may not necessarily lead them to atheism, but it's going to ask them a lot of uncomfortable things about the people they devoted their life to.
Yeah, and there's also the basic bait and switch aspect where you're sending money in for faith healing and what you get is a paper faith blanket or something like that. and there really is a product switch on you here. You're expecting one thing, and you get entirely another. So we're approaching the end of the show, so we should...
Okay.
All right, thank you very much, Allie.
You're welcome.
All right, Bye. You have a good day. And I've been told that the high schooler that we spoke of at the beginning segment of the show, his name is Damon Fowler. And so if you go to friendlyatheist.com, there will be information about how to help his college scholarship, since it looks like he's going to need it.
Yeah, it's just horrible that somebody could leave their kid on the curb like that. I mean, that's a horrible thing. If there's something a parent can do, I mean, certainly you can disagree with what your kid's political beliefs are, what their religious beliefs are, but there's a certain point where you don't want them to starve. You want them to be able to get an education in the hope that maybe they'll come around to whatever around is to you.
Yeah.
That's my beef with religion, is that this stuff does cause harm. This does hurt people, and it gets people to do things that they wouldn't otherwise do if the religion wasn't there.
Sure, sure.
That if you really believe that your kids' ideas are so harmful that you need to sort of cut them off from your family, you need to basically treat them like a cancerous lump, and that you have to sort of cut them out before they can infect the rest of the family, it makes total sense that you would cut them off with no support. I mean, Jason, has this ever happened to you? Did you ever have that sort of experience where people kind of... I mean, leaving religion, did it have that kind of painful...
I had a really good friend. We were actually in... I played bass in the worship team at a kind of smaller mega church in the New Orleans area. And for 3 years, we were good friends. We drove from New Orleans to Los Angeles together. And I drove down from Seattle and visited them a couple times. He was one of my closest friends. I really looked up to the guy. Found out I was an atheist. Very shortly thereafter, he cut off all ties with me. So what I did, that happened a lot, but that was the one that really hurt.
Right.
So when he stopped talking to me, I decided to donate $10 for each person that did that to the Secular Student Alliance.
That's a fantastic idea.
And it was at the end of last year, so somebody was matching every donation. So $200 went to the Secular Student Alliance because of the people who unfriended me because of my beliefs.
That's a pretty great way to channel it, I think. I like that.
Yeah, it made me feel better.
Yeah, I feel better about it. So one thing we talked about in the last segment that I'd like to ask you about is the thing about being religious and being a religious musician is that you do sort of inherit the spiritual music sort of history and and social group and stuff like that. What can atheists do to sort of support perhaps a more secular musical movement, I suppose?
Well,
or tradition.
Just the regular stuff of supporting local artists. I'm not very comfortable with the idea of atheist rappers.
Yeah.
Or atheist musicians. Like, there's Christian rock. We don't need atheist rock. There's like Christian rock, and then there's rock. There's
yeah. Rap. That's the thing. Is I'm not really. I'm not really suggesting that we make an atheist genre of music. It's just that musicians tend to like to support each other and work with each other.
Plus, it can be a different venue of the atheist visibility movement. A song can be just as effective as a billboard.
Sure. Yeah.
I write songs for nerdy, skeptical, atheist people because that's what I am. And so the people that are like me, I would feel supported if they would, listen to my music and relate to it and tell their friends about it and whatever. And that's what you need to do is just... share it with like-minded people.
Sure.
Whatever.
And that starts, and for those, for folks on the show, that starts tonight with your show this evening.
Yeah, tonight, and then, y'all can invite me to some conferences or whatever.
Absolutely.
I'll be playing at TAM in 2013, if there's a 2013.
Oh, wow. Very nice.
No, I just made that up.
There won't be a 2013.
There won't be. Yeah, it won't be over by then.
All right. Well, that's what we've got for today, this incredibly special episode of Ask an Atheist. Our hosts today were myself, Sam Olvey, and Mike Gillis, and Becky Friedman. Our guests were Ellie Felico, Chad Cassidy, and Jason Brunning.
Brunet. Three ninjas.
Yeah. Three ninjas.
Bad Sam.
Ah,
I forgive you.
Screwed up somewhere. All right. Thanks to Dorky's Arcade and Seattle Atheists and Oven Rake for all of the work they've done today, or yesterday, today, and forever on. And also, this is Ask an Atheist, a production of NEDM Media. You can see us online at askanatheist.tv. And finally, before we're out of here, I'd like to give a shout-out to a regular listener and post-show meetup guy, Josh from Yelm, who's soon deploying to Afghanistan.
Stay safe.
Yeah, stay safe. Try to have a good time. See you guys next week.
keeping you informed. This is KLAY, Lakewood, Tacoma, your conversation station.
Cats can be better than dogs at hiding illness. That's why every cat should receive a wellness exam twice a year. Call your veterinarian and schedule your cat's exam today.
KLAY 1180 is Tacoma's full-service radio station with local news, weather and traffic, mornings and afternoons. Call and see how easy it is to get your business on the air in Pierce and South King County on KLAY 1180.
With IRN USA Radio News, I'm Precious Watson. Yemen's president has again balked at signing a deal aimed at ending the country's political crisis. It calls for President Saleh to step down within 30 days, but armed supporters have taken to the streets demanding he stay. Militiamen trapped at least five ambassadors, including the American ambassador, inside a diplomatic mission for hours today. Saleh says he won't sign the